Blog Talk Radio.
You have tuned into Home, Helen Arm Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. I am so glad that you have joined me on today. Come right on in, bring your Bible, and come and just have a seat. We're going to have just another glorious time in the Lord on today. Truly, this is the day that the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice and be glad therein. I told the church on the other day, don't get mad, but get glad, because this is the day that the Lord has made. I don't care what you're going through or what you're looking at or face. No weapon formed against you is going to prosper. Every tongue that rises against you shall be condemned. Truly, God is great and greatly to be praised. So I admonish you and encourage you on today. Look to the hill from which cometh your help. Your help comes from the Lord who made the heaven and the earth. On today, as you're settling in on today, we are going to be talking about another just glorious word from the Lord. I will be talking about, I will come again. And as I stated, truly God is such a gracious God. And we're going to be looking at this particular lesson on today, and it's going to be found over in two passages of scriptures that we will look at on today. One, Mark chapter 13, verses 32 to 37. Then we will also look at Luke chapter number 12, verses 35 to 40. And let's take a look here at Mark chapter number 13. It reads on this line, but of that day and of that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servant and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, or at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Now, let's take a look at Luke chapter number 12, verses 35 through verse number 40. It said, let your lions be girt about, and your light shining, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord when he return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he that shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the good man of the house have known what the hour the thief will come, he would have watched, and have not suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. Now, let's take a look here. What we're going to be focusing on today is John 14 and 3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may also be. The thought would be that we as the church, the scripture has told us to watch and to be waiting, because Jesus is coming again to receive a church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Now let's take a look here at our lesson for today. We're going to look at Jesus' promise to come again. And then also the angel proclaims Christ's coming. And then we're going to look at Peter. He foretold Christ's coming. Then after that, we're going to look at the coming. Will there take place at an unknown time that will take place quickly? The coming that will take unexpectedly? Then we're going to look at the charge to be ready, watch and pray, and ignore doubters. And then we'll look in conclusion of the rewards, the fellowship with the Master, the appearing with Christ in glory, and the reign with Christ. So let's take a look at these things. The coming of the Lord has been the source of many different ideas about prophetic throughout the years. The study of prophecy, called eschatologically, involved studies of the end time and judgment and the study of hell and heaven. Out of these studies, many prophetic terms have emerged, particularly with regards to the second coming of Jesus Christ. The term pre-tribulation, mid-tribulation, post-tribulation, and no tribulation at all have to do with what various individuals believe about certain aspects of the return of Jesus Christ. And I want to stop and just for just a moment. This is what we find, that individuals have interpretation of that tribulation or what's going to happen. Some speak in terms of pre-tribulation, mid-tribulation, post-tribulation, and some even state that there will be no tribulation. But the word of God is true, and it shall come to pass, just like God has moved on the writers who penned even the words and things that have been written. Over the years, many individuals have fallen prey to making inaccurate prediction of the coming of Jesus Christ, trying to pinpoint the time of his appearance. These individuals may be sincere in their belief and effort to propagate the event of his second coming, but they are sincerely wrong. Jesus clearly states that no man knows the day or the hour of his return. Matthew 24:36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. In every generation, there are those who have a new twist on prophetic passage of Scripture. They seek to prove their theories by quoting passages they think are contextually correct. However, when their predictions fall, it is evidence that their application of the Scripture was flawed. Though they are a myriad of opinion as to when the coming of the Lord will take place, there is no mistaking the fact that Jesus will come again, as the angels declare to the believers following Christ's ascension, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." You'll find that over in Acts chapter number 1, verse 11. Now, let's take a look. We're going to look over at the promise. Jesus promised to come again. Also, that the angels proclaimed Christ's coming, and Peter foretold Christ coming again. Now let's take a look at the promise. It said the promises of God are two-dimensional, including the promise that the Lord Jesus Christ will come again. In other words, the promises of Scripture have significance both those who have been born again and for the unredeemed sinner. While some promises of Scripture represent great elements of hope for the believers, they also signify an urgent warning for the unbelievers. The song that says, "Every promise in the book is mine. fail to consider that there are some promises we do not want to claim. The promise, the Bible, the soul that sinned, it shall die. Ezekiel chapter number 18, verses number 4 and 20. Now, we must recognize and realize that the word of God is true, child of God. It said, for the believer, the promised return of the Lord means escaping the confines of morality, time, space, and limitations of the flesh. It also means embracing immortality, embracing eternity, and even embracing heaven. To the sinner, however, this promise represents a missed opportunity to be saved, and it's doomed them to be an eternity in hell. Now, let's take a look at the first promise, one of the promises about Jesus' promise to come again. John 14 contains some of the most beautiful words spoken by Jesus. And there are some people that really just discount the whole book of John. And it's to my amazement and to see that people are really discounting this very important book that beholds and embrace the promises of Jesus' return. Let's look here at John 14, verses 1 through 3. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Now, while Jesus acknowledged his approaching death on the cross, he also comforted his disciple with the promise of his return for them. He clearly assured his disciples of the reality of heaven, and he further promised to prepare a place there for them. Finally, he stated that he will come again to gather his disciple unto himself, and that they would spend eternity with him. He gave them hope for their future through his promise to return physically to the earth. Christ said that his return would occur at a time when the world's confidence would be shaken because of many calamities befalling mankind. Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Luke 21 and 26. Now, I've just shared with a group of individuals about the eyes of this nation is being opened through the various events that have been taking place over the course of the last perhaps 10 years. God is awakening our eyes and causing us to take note and to look. His return is imminent and he's on his way back for a church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. The powers of heaven has been shaken and is being shaken, and we're seeing things happening on this earth as things that we've never seen before. We're seeing the earth passing away. We're seeing even the fire consuming certain states, and we're seeing the flood that are taking place, the earthquakes that are in diverse places. This here, child of God, over in John 14, verses number 1 through 3, has let us know, don't let your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in him, that in his Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, there it is, and receive you unto myself, and that I am there, ye may also be. And then Luke 21 and 26 let us know that for the power of heaven shall be shaken. And that's what we're seeing. The outlook will be one of bleak hopelessness for many in the world at that time. But in the midst of these events, the people of the earth will look up to see Jesus coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Luke 21 and 27. Now, let's take a look, another look here. That was Jesus' promise unto us as children of God, people of God, that he will come again. Let's look at what the angels proclaim regarding Christ's coming. Acts chapter number 1, verses number 9 through 11. Let's take a look at the scripture. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which he also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Now, that again, that's Acts chapter number 1, verses number 9 through verse 11. Angels have played an ever-present part in the plan of God since the beginning of time. We can look through scriptures and we can see how God strategically used angels to bring forth that which he has commanded. Angels were present at the time of creation. They were there to see the handiwork of heaven as the Lord magnificently flung the stars into existence. When God measured the waters for the ocean, lakes, and the sea, the angelic host of heaven sang together and shouted for joy. You can see that over in Job chapter 38, verses 4 through 7. An angel announced the coming birth of Jesus Christ to Mary and Joseph. The angel were present at the birth of the Lord. When Jesus hung on the cross, the angel were present and ready to minister to him, but had he requested them to do so. And at the tomb of the Lord, Mary met with an angel who declared, he is not here, for he is risen, Matthew 28 and 6. The angels of God were also present at the ascension of Jesus Christ. After Jesus had commanded his disciples to go to Jerusalem until that they be filled with the power of the Holy Ghost, a cloud came and received Jesus out of their sight. And as the disciples stood there, awestruck by what most have been a magnificent sight, the angels encouraged them with the announcement that Jesus would come again in the same manner as he departed. Acts chapter number 1, verse number 11, let us know that. Their message assured the disciples that Christ would return to earth once again. And so here we have the angels proclaiming that Jesus will return again onto earth. Once again, he will return for his bride. Now, let's take a look at Peter. Foretells Christ's coming. Simon Peter delivered the first message of the newly born church on the day of Pentecost. You can see Acts 2. He preached Jesus crucified to the gathered audience on that day. And they were moved with guilt and remorse when they inquired of Peter what they should do. When he went on to preach repentance of sin, water baptism in the name of Jesus for the remission of sin and receiving of the Holy Ghost as evidenced by speaking with other tongues. See Acts chapter 2, verse 14 through 41. Peter's life was drastically illustrate the change that takes place in a person after receiving the Holy Ghost. Peter changed from a man who denied even knowing the Lord to a man who became a pillar of the early church and the writer of two epistles in what would become our New Testament. Not only did Peter preach the first message of the fleeing church, but in his epistle, he also proclaimed the second coming of Jesus Christ. Now, child of God, I want you to even to write down these scriptures and go back and read them. 1 Peter chapter number 1, verse 7, verse number 13. Also, 1 Peter chapter number 4, verse 13. Chapter number 5, verse 4. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. Also, 2 Peter chapter number 3, verse 10, reads on this line, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heaven will pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up." Peter referred to the coming of Jesus Christ as the day of the Lord. He wrote that it will come as a thief in the night, which means that he will catch many people unexpectedly. This is why the writer of the book of Hebrews warned, "And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." Hebrews 9 and 28. We must be watching for his return. Now, let's look at our next phase here. We're going to look at the coming will take place at an unknown time. The next point we will look at will take place quickly, then will take place unexpectedly. Now, let's take a look at this. It's going to take place at an unexpected time. Many people have tried to announce a date for the return of Jesus Christ, but they have failed to in every instance. In 1988, the late Edgar Wisnott wrote a book about the second coming, which he called 88 Reasons Why the Rapture Should Be in 1988. Many people bought this small booklet and believed this man's interpretation of prophecy, but of course he was wrong, like others before and since who tried to pinpoint the time of Christ's return to the earth. And we as children of God, we recognize when we hear people even trying to predict a day or a month, we know that the Bible let us know that no man knows the day or the hour that the Son of Man coming. We do know that he's coming and that he's going to be coming back for a church and his bride, but the day and the hour we know not. These have failed because God has withheld the knowledge of the time of his return. No man knows when it will be. Matthew 24 and 36. We do not know the day or the hour of Christ's return, but there are some things we can know about that great event that will take place. Now, let's look at some of those things. It will take place quickly. We know that the coming of Jesus Christ will be swift and certain. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and the shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Matthew 24 and 27. Three characteristics of the coming, second coming. Number one, let's take a look. The event of the second coming is of God and not of mankind. In other words, the same God who summons the lightning from above is the one who is responsible for the timing of his return. No man can establish or even know that date. It is known to our Lord alone. Number two, the second coming will be literal, visible, conspicuous, like lightning streaking across the sky. There will be no mistake about the second coming, for every eye shall see him. Number three, the Lord's coming shall be as sudden and surprising to the world as is lightning. His return will gather the elect from the east and to the west. The coming of Christ for the church means deliverance from this world and from and an introduction to eternity. Revelation 3 and 11 say, "Behold, I come quickly. Behold that fast. Hold fast that which thou hast, that no man take thy crown." And so the Bible admonishes us as individual children of God, as individual, to hold fast that which God has given and let no one take it from you. When John recorded the book of Revelation, he and many other believers were enduring especially troubling times. Many of the disciples had suffered martyrdom. John was in exile on the lonely island of Patmos. Others were also suffering great persecution. Perhaps to these faithful believers, it seemed that Jesus was telling them personally to hold on, not to give up, and to know that he was on his way to redeem them. Many centuries have passed while the church continued to wait for the appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. Still, however, we must remain faithful and expectant, refusing to fail prey to trials, tribulation, temptation, or allowing anything to steal our crown. Waiting for the return of Christ sometimes may seem long and protracted, but when the time of his appearance arrives, it will be swift and certain. Now let's take a look here at another point. His return will also take place unexpectedly. 1 Thessalonians 5 and number 2 say, "For yourself know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." The second coming of Christ Jesus will catch some individual by surprise. Many messages of the scripture speaks of the lackness of many people with regards to watching and waiting for the Lord's return. Some will be engaged in business affairs, some will be courting pleasures, and others will be consumed with the desire to make and secure riches. Those who do not look for and anticipate the return of Christ will be guilty of pursuing the wrong priorities in life. Now, let me stop here for just a moment. The scriptures are not saying for us not to be businessmen and women, or not to pursue or enjoy the things that God has given unto us. I want to clearly to share that. It does not say that. But what it is admonishing or warning and exhorting us to do is that don't put those things above the priority of watching for the return of Jesus Christ, or expecting Jesus Christ to return for his church. Yes, centuries may have passed, but yes, it's still going to be relevant that when Jesus Christ comes to take away the bride, the church, guess what? Eternity begins for the children of God and even the unbelievers, even the sinners. We must recognize that we have a choice in the matter. And so, yes, be about your business. Work on your business. Let it be profitable. Let it be a success, a blessing, as which you and your heart desire to be a blessing to other people. But in the same token, don't get so embedded and immersed in the business that you forget to come to the house of God, that you forget to pay your tithes and offering, that you forget to read the word of God, that you forget to put God first and being in his house and making sure that there's meat in God's house. Don't forget those things that God has given to us and hold fast to those and stand in the word of God, watching and be about the affairs, helping and ministering and doing the various types of work that we need to do, even in this world. Don't forget those things. But don't let your mind get so enmeshed that you forget that God is sending his son back to receive a church without spot or a wrinkle or any such thing. He's coming back for a church. and for people who will be found watching and waiting. And waiting is moving forward in expectancy that the Lord Jesus Christ cracking the air and coming for his people. So please don't get allow that the philosophy of this world and the lie that is going out that the church don't want you rich, or the church don't want you blessed, or the church don't want you to prosper. That's not so. What it is that God is warning that don't allow your heart to be so tied up and tangled in that affairs of the world that when God comes to meet us in the sky, that we will not be found waiting and watching or hearing, or that we're so engulfed in pleasure that we cannot find ourselves in the house of God and things. God wants us to be blessed. He wants us to be the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. But when that consume our mind so much day and night to where we cannot attend to the widows, when we cannot go to the prisons and visit those that are confined, those that are in convalescing home, that we can't find time to go and visit and spend time with them. When we get so consumed up in our own affairs that we cannot give out outside of ourselves, that's when we begin to need to take note and bring our priorities back into order. Now, the scriptures are clear. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, Matthew 6:33. The person who embraces the priorities of Christ's kingdom will not be caught off guard at the second coming. Now, I want to say that again because I want you to hear it clearly. The person who embraces the priorities of Christ's kingdom will not be caught off guard at the second coming. That is what's key. Now, let's take a look at the charge that we must be ready. We must watch and pray. And we must ignore the doubters, because there are people that doubt that this will even be so and will happen. And let's take a look at this charge. It was a charge from the Lord himself. The challenge of the Lord to his church is to be ready at any moment for his return. The first thing one must do in order to be ready for his coming is to obey the gospel. When a person recognizes his sinful state and his need for God, repent of his sins and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of their sins and receive the Holy Ghost, that person is prepared for the great event, this great event. These are all prerequisites for being ready for the coming of Jesus Christ. But they are only the beginning of living one's life for God. The believer is to live their life for Jesus Christ, walking by faith in holiness, completely dedicated unto the Lord. Moreover, the believer is also to live in a state of preparedness, watching and waiting for the appearance of the Lord. The scripture repeatedly cautions the bride of Christ to make herself ready for the bridegroom. Now, Matthew 25, it states when the bridegroom did not return as expected, the 10 virgins slumber and slept. Had it not been for a wakening alarm sounded by someone who was shouting, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh," Matthew 25:6, his return would have taken all 10 virgins unaware. The fact is, Jesus may not return when we think he will. In fact, he will warn that it will occur in an hour that we think not, Matthew 24:44. Luke 12:40. It paid for all to be ready for the coming of the Lord. There are several things that will help ready us for the second coming. Watch and pray. The Bible admonishes us. It tells us for us to watch and pray. Prayer empowers men and women with spiritual visions and enable them to see things as they really are. And as they can be. Jesus' command for us to watch and pray includes two distinct actions. Number one, let's look at these. Watch. Watch referred to being observant and looking at the world around us as our surroundings and the signs that will precede Christ's second advent. Many will miss these biblical signs because they are spiritually dull, caught up in the carnal concern of life. Possibly they have even refused to acknowledge the sign that points to the Lord's coming. Number two, prayer involves proactively taking action daily to prepare ourselves spiritually for Christ's return. In prayer, God chooses to reveal things about our spiritual condition that we may not recognize through our natural eyes. Moreover, prayer equips each person with an ability to discern the times and seasons. When Elijah climbed to the top of Mount Carmel to look for a fulfillment of God's promise to send rain, he did two things. Number one, he watched for the physical sign of rain. And number two, he prayed that God would bring it to pass. Eventually, seeking divine insight and wisdom, it was a combination of watching and praying that prepared him to receive the promise of the Lord. Further, watching and praying also prepare us for the second coming of Christ. And that's why it's important for us as children of God to watch and pray. It doesn't mean to be watching prayer paranoid. It doesn't mean for us to watch and be fearful. It didn't tell us to be watching and allow our hearts to become troubled. But the Bible said to watch and pray. And so if you're not praying, then that opens up a door of anxiety. It opened up the door for panic attacks. It opened up the door for fear. It opened up the door for perplexity. It opened up the door for our minds to be frightened about what things are happening upon the earth. We do recognize the powers in heaven as being shaken. But God told his children what to do, how to stand, what to do in those times. He said, watch and pray. And so, child of God, I admonish you to go back to praying. You are watching, but now you need to stay in the prayer meeting. Stay in the house of God. Stay in the place where prayer is going. Don't give that up. Let's look here. And then, two, he also said for us to ignore doubters. He said, if you tell a man that there are 3 billion stars in the universe, he'll believe you. But if you tell them a bench had just been painted, he has to touch it to see that it is sure or that it is true. And old proverbs say, if you can stop to listen to every barking dog, the road will never end. When a person is born again, they begin to walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Just as there are obstacles and hindrance on our natural road, so there are equally difficult impediments on the spiritual road of life. One such obstacle is the critical opinion of unbelievers. Again, I will say that. The obstacle for the children of God is the critical opinion of unbelievers. If we are not careful, we will stop or encounter delays at every unbelieving word of doubt expressed to us along the road to glory. In God's second coming, the Apostle Peter encouraged believers to stir up their pure mind, 2 Peter 3:1, because in the last days, people would speak disparately and doubtfully of the second coming of Christ, 2 Peter 3:3-4. The Greek word ekerizi is rendered pure, and it occurs only here in the Philippians 1:10, where it is rendered sincere. The word means judged by sunlight or tested as genuine. Peter was warning the believers to be pure, to be open and sincere in remembering the words of the holy prophet and apostle. Their openness to the Old Testament prophets' writing regarding the second coming will equip them to dispel the arguments of doubters of their day. We must exercise purity and sincerity for Christ so that we too are ready for his coming. Now, let's look at that, the fact that there will be doubters. People will literally doubt. There are people, as I said at the opening, that even doubt the even writing of the book of John. And some even think that is just collected stories and not prophetic words that was uttered out of the mouth of men that was moved by the Holy Ghost and even Jesus Christ himself. Now let's look at the rewards. It's that when the Lord Jesus returned to earth for his people, there will be many benefits. The obvious reward in heaven will be an escape from hell and destruction, and an opportunity to escape the trauma of fleshly shortcoming and eternal life. Now let's look at the fellowship with the Master, and then we're going to look at the appear with Christ in glory and reign with Christ. These are the rewards. And let's look first here at the fellowship. Perhaps the greatest benefit for the believer at the time of the second coming is the fellowship he will enjoy, or they will enjoy, with the Master. Believers enjoy spiritual fellowship with the Lord on earth, but none have experienced fellowship with him in the measure that will be experienced in eternity. And I just want to read. There is a man in yonder's glory I have loved for many years. He have cleared my guilty conscience and have banished all my fears. He is coming in a moment in a twinkling of an eye, and no time will be allotted for you to utter one goodbye. No time to kiss the husband or to embrace the loving wife. If there are but united in the bounds of holy life, are you ready, Christian? Ready for the shout and trump and voice? Will his returning take you tremble or cause you to rejoice? Are you walking, talking with him daily, taking him your care? Do you live so close to heaven that a breath will wrap you there? And this is a quote that came from In Fairest of All by Locker. Herbert Locker in 1936. Now let's look at another reward. Another reward is that the appearance and appearing with Christ in glory. To appear with Christ in glory has to do with the resurrection of both living believers and those who are dead in Christ. When the people of Thessalonica was concerned about being separated from their loved ones at death, they questioned if they would ever see them again. Paul wrote to them in his epistle to the Thessalonians in an attempt to dispel their fear. He assured them that even though there is sorrow over death of the loved one, there is hope for the believer. He promised that the Lord will return. At his return, the dead in Christ will rise again at first. And then the living believers will be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the sky. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 through 18. The apostle urged them to comfort one another with these words of hope. Now let's look at the next thing, the reign with Christ. The reign of Jesus Christ will be eternal in leading the Exodus of the people of Israel from Egypt. Moses led the people in a song that included these words: "The Lord shall reign forever and ever." Exodus 15 and 18. The prophet Isaiah and Jeremiah also wrote of the reign of Christ. Isaiah wrote, "Of the increase of the government and peace, there shall be no end." Isaiah 9 and 7. Jeremiah chapter number 23 and verse number 5 say, behold, the days come when the Lord that I will, with said the Lord, I will raise up unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. Paul reminded all those who were suffering adversity to continue in the faith, for they had a promise. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. 2 Timothy 2 and 12. After the rapture, the believer will enjoy the privilege of reigning with Jesus Christ throughout eternity. This will include a time known as the millennium reign of Christ, in which the redeemed will reign with him. We will rule and reign with Jesus Christ. Now let's look at even the conclusion here over in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. One cannot underestimate the importance of living his life for Jesus Christ. There never will be a sacrifice for which the believer is sorry if he is or she is included in the second coming. It will be worth every struggle, every sacrifice, every hurt, and every pain. Though many choose to disbelieve the truth of Christ's return for the church, the word of God is clear that is coming in time and on time. The believer must guard their heart as the coming of the Lord approaches, and avoiding the temptation of ridicule and the thoughts of unbelievers. The child of God may suffer temptation, troubles, and infirmities in their life, but on that day, they will be changed in the moment to be like the Lord, and they will go with Christ to rule and reign for eternity. Knowing that the rapture could take place at any moment, every believer should remain faithful to Christ. While we wait for his return, we are to be busy and involved in the business of his kingdom. We are to know the command of the nobleman in Jesus' parable when he said, occupy till I come. Luke chapter number 19 and verse number 13. We must recognize that God wants us to occupy until he comes. And even while we're occupying, he also wants us to also be watching and waiting for his return. It is during his 1960 presidential campaign that John F. Kennedy often closed his speeches with the story of the Colonel Davenport, the Speaker of the Connecticut House of Representatives. On May 19, 1780, the skies of Hartford darkened, and some of the representatives, glancing out the window, feared that the end was at hand. Quailing at the clamor of the immediate adjournment, Davenport rose and said, the day of judgment is either approaching or it is not. If it is not, then there is no case for the adjournment. If it is, I choose to be found doing the duty. Therefore, I wish the candles be brought. Rather than fearing what is to come, we ought to be faithful till Christ return. Instead of fearing the dark, we to be the light as we watch and wait. Harry Hart's The Coming, Second Coming and the Faithfulness, the Timothy Report, which was written December 13, 2003. We must recognize that we must be even just like that. We must burn the candles and continue to watch and wait on the Lord and occupy until he comes. I pray that this particular lesson has been just a revelatory and an opening of your understanding about the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ coming for a church and without spot or wrinkle or any such thing as we wait upon them and things. It shall take place. He said, I will come again over in Matthew. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch, and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taken a far journey, who left his house, and gave authority to his servant, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of a house cometh, or at evening, or at midnight, at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. And that is so key for us to watch as the Son of Man comes. He said, be ye therefore ready, for the Son of Man coming at an hour when we think not. And so in my closing, the scripture let us know to occupy. It doesn't mean that we sit in a house and just look out a window and just be watching. No, but it's in our heart and mind as we're saying, dear God, if you come today, I'm ready, dear God, to be raptured, to meet you in the air. And then in the same token, I have to work while it's day, because the night cometh where no man are able to work. So it with both hand in hand, we are living out of that command by occupying. And while we're occupying, we're watching and waiting in our hearts, in our mind, in tune with God, that whatever day it may be, God, we want to be found waiting to when you come. Again, I pray that even when you look at the eschatological aspect, the studies of the end time, the judgment and heaven and earth, it all points back that God is on his way back. The elements, when you're watching and things for God, even as Elijah, he prayed, but he also watched for God to see God, where God was moving at, how God was moving. And so it is as children of God, we as people of God, throughout the day, we should be watching how God is even moving in and among us as never before. And God is going to do some profound things for his people in a mighty and a special way. So be thou encouraged. Stay in the Bible study. Stay in your prayer meetings. Go to the house of the Lord. Don't forsake those things. They are vital for us as children of God. They are very vital for the people of God to be found watching and waiting, doing the work of the ministry and things. I pray that this here have given you a greater understanding of the promise, of Jesus' promise to come again, even about the angels proclaiming Christ's coming, even when Peter foretold Christ's coming, then that the coming will take place at an unknown time, as well as will take place quickly. It's even as God had told also Adam and Eve not to eat of the tree of knowledge and things. That knowledge, that piece of knowledge, God has kept for himself. Also that he will, the coming of the Lord will take place quickly and unexpectedly. But he left us with a charge, and I speak it again in your hearing, to be ready, to watch and pray, to ignore those that are denying the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ will come again for his church without a spot or a wrinkle or any such thing. Ignore those that doubting and things, and the skeptics and the criticism that is going on that are being saying that he will not return or that he's even just a prophet. The other thing in closing, that there will be a reward for the child of God, the fellowship with the master, the appearance with Christ in glory, reigning with Christ will be the things that those that have been caught up, those that have been faithful, that will be go back with the Lord Jesus Christ. God will do it. Don't let your heart be troubled. Watch and pray. I don't care what is coming on the face of the earth. I don't care what you're seeing, the devastation that we hear in the media of various things that are taking place. Heaven is being the power. The scripture said the powers of heaven was going to be shaken. Over in the book of Luke, it let us know. And this is what we're seeing that is happening and things. But the Bible said for us, Luke chapter number 21 and verse 26, men's hearts failing them for fear and looking for after the things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And so when we see the powers of heaven, which they're being shaken now and things being shaken, God said for us, to watch and pray, to look up, for our redemption draweth nigh. And so we as children of God, we must continue to watch and pray and enter not into that temptation, the temptation to be laxing, the temptation to not be watching, the temptation to not to be found in the prayer meeting, the temptation not to be gone back to the Bible study and in Sunday school, Christian education and things, and to be also to be about our Father's business and visiting the widows or visiting the prisons and going and helping those that need our help. These things God was saying, occupy until I come. That doesn't mean for us not to be successful in business, and not doesn't mean for us not to be successful in getting our education and moving forward and the things that God wants us to be. But in the same token, occupy. In the same token, do the will of our Father wherever you be, or wherever you may find yourself, in a successful business, writing a book, or going forward, being in the corporate realm. Be successful, but keep God in the center of your heart, mind, and soul. I'm getting ready to pray, child of God. This was a deep lesson today. But the scripture said, deep will call unto deep. All those that are listening on today, God put you here today because deep is calling unto deep at the noise of my waterspout, because God is on his way back. And the Bible said that you do, we must do it quickly, because the day is far spent and the night is at hand, child of God. And we must be about our Father's business and work while it's day, because night is approaching. Child of God, don't fool yourself. Gracious God, we come right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we come calling upon your name, seeking you, humbly bowing our hearts and minds before your throne, even right now. We ask, oh God, that you will bless everyone up under the sound of my voice. We ask, oh God, that you meet every need. Let not a need go lack. Open every door. Make a way out of nowhere. But stir their pure conscience of their mind. Oh God, in the name of Jesus, let the passion, and oh God, the intensity of prayer resound in their hearts, mind, and soul as never before. Let your sovereign will be done throughout the earth, Father, and we'll give you the glory and we'll give you the honor and give you the praise that's due unto your name. You said that you're coming. Behold, you come quickly, and your reward is in your hand. Lord, let us not give our eyes to sleep, Lord. Open our eyes, let our spiritual eyes continue to be awakened, that we may be watching, oh God. In the name of Jesus, stir everyone, every prophet, Lord, every apostle, every teacher, Lord, every minister, Lord, every pastor, Lord, in the name of Jesus, put urgency down in their spirit. And Father, we'll give you the praise, Lord. Father, this is our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Have your way, oh God, throughout this earth. Have your way, Lord. And Father, we'll praise your blessed name and give you the glory, oh God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. In my closing on today, I want to say, if you don't have it, God got it. and you just one prayer away from your blessing. Ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and the door shall be open unto you. If you don't have it, don't give up. Go back and pray again and watch God do it on your behalf. Be thou encouraged, child of God, and know that your Father which is in heaven careth about you. And guess what? You will not perish. I don't care what it looked like. I don't care how many pharaohs are after you. I don't care how the Red Sea looked before you. I come to tell you by the power that is invested in me and the anointing power of God that God will do it. God will bring it to pass. God will open every door unto you, child of God. I don't care what the report may say. I don't care how many letters you get in the mail. I command you to go back and pray again. Go back and rejoice again. Go back and say, God, I know that you're able. And if it's not your will, Lord, I'm willing to say your will be done. Not my will, God, but your will be done. Because you alone is worthy of the praise. You alone is worthy of the glory. You alone are worthy of the honor. You alone are worthy, O God, of all the praise, glory, and honor. Sha-la-la-la-la-bo-she. Lord, you are our manna. Lord, you are our keeper. Lord, you are our way out of no way, dear God. You said for us to look to the hill from which cometh our help. Our help come from the Lord who made the heaven and the earth. And, O God, I look unto you. La-la-la-la-bo-she. And that you will do it, dear God. I touch and agree with my sister today. I touch and agree with my brother today, oh God, for their family members, Lord. For, Lord, their unsaved loved ones, dear God, in the name of Jesus, open the door. In the name of Jesus, bring back the hellhounds, Lord. In the name of Jesus, close the mouth of the gainsayers, Lord. In the name of Jesus, put a cloud between them and the enemy, Lord. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, use their Red Sea to drown, oh God, every one of their enemies that's coming up against them, Lord. Open up the gulf and swallow them up in the name of Jesus and by the power that's in the Holy Ghost. Oh, child of God, the power of God. Let it be, oh God. Let it be as your word hath already declared, as you have already predestinated for this day, God. Let it be, O God, your will, Lord. Hold back, O God. Beat back, O God, the hand of the enemy. And Father, we'll praise your blessed name. We give you glory in this place. We give you honor, Lord, in this place. That's it, child of God. You worship God. I don't care how bad it seems. I don't care what's going on and what's going down in your life. I decree a praise in your mouth today. I decree new eyesight, spiritual insight, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Heal every wound, Lord. Be back every, Lord, man of the adversary, Lord, that come to, Lord, tie the tongue, to come to put out the spiritual eyes, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Shari and Oboshe. Lord, have thine own way, O God, and we'll praise you and give you glory and give you honor to the glory of our Father, which is in heaven, Lord. And we thank you, O God, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Come on, put your hands together, child of God, and give God some praise. Lord, we worship you, Lord, because we will be found waiting, Lord. Lord, we worship you, O God, because our mind will be turned towards you, Lord. We worship you, God, because our thoughts will be towards you, dear God. We worship you, O God, because our hearts are turned towards you, Lord. We worship you, dear God, because, Lord, we'll be found doing your work. We'll occupy till you come, Lord. Empower and strengthen your body, Lord. Undergird your people. people. Fortify them, Lord. Let them not give up, Lord. Let them not hold back, Lord. But, oh, God, Lord, stir the prayer in the bosom of your people, Lord. Every prayer warrior that been wounded, Lord, that been, oh, God, up under severe attack, Lord, I pray their strength in you, oh, God, that their inward man will be strengthened, dear God, in the name of Jesus and by the power that's in the Holy Ghost, dear Lord. We pray, oh, God, that you will move by your power divine, undergird and fortify and strengthen, strengthen, Lord, strengthen, Lord, we are people, strengthen, Lord, strengthen, O God, strengthen your people, Lord. And Father, we praise your blessed name and give you the glory, O God, in Jesus' matchless name. Amen and amen. Unto thee, O Lord, do we lift our praise. Unto thee, O Lord. I just feel the sweet, sweet spirit of communion in this place right now. Commune, Lord. Speak to your daughters, Lord. Speak to your women, Lord. Pour into their hearts all of gladness, Lord. Give them, Lord, rejoicing for mourning, Lord. A praise, dear God, down in their spirit, Lord. And Father, we praise your blessed name. We give you glory, O God. We give you honor, Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord our God, my Lord Jesus. Jesus, you are able, Lord, to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. You are able to do it all over again, God. All over, Lord. I touch and agree, Lord, with those that are here on the radio land that are distraught in their spirit, distraught in their mind. Lord, bring hope back to them, Lord. Bring peace back to their mind, Lord. Let them see it again, Lord. Let them hope again, Lord. Renew, Lord, that vision. Renew that dream. Hey, Jesus, my Lord, Jesus, Rabboni, have thine own way, O God, have thine own way, O Lord, and Father, we'll praise your blessed name, Lord, help us to shake ourselves, Lord, shake ourselves of, Lord, every attack, O God, shake ourselves, O God, of every, Lord, stabbed in the back, Lord, every wound, Lord, in the name of Jesus, dear God, every word that was spoken against, Lord, your people, your women, Lord, oh God, I cry out for them, oh God, today, I travail in my heart, Lord, for them, Lord, wipe their eyes today, every rejection, oh God, misunderstandings, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord, oh God, every jealousy, and oh God, emulation, Lord, every envy and strife that came against them, Lord. I ask, dear God, that you will heal the brokenness, heal and strengthen them, Lord. Help them to get up and go back again, Lord. Help them to cry out again, Lord. Help them, Lord, to preach again. Help them to teach again. Help them to lead again, Lord, in spite of the persecution, in spite of, oh God, Lord, the public, Lord, persecution, and oh God, crucifixion, oh God, in the name of Jesus, the tearing and reproach of their character, Lord, and their reputation, dear God, oh God, oh, I don't know whoever is on this line, but I feel your pain, I feel your trouble in your spirit and mind today. God, touch them, Lord. Lift it up off their mind, Lord. Give them peace all over again, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I touch and agree, oh God, for right now, bless me. Oh, what the enemy meant for evil, God, you're going to turn it around for their good. All would know that is you, God, your favor resting upon them. Your favor on their life, your favor in their mind, your favor in their spirit, Lord. And Father, we thank you, Lord. We give you glory. We give you honor. We give you praise. We give you praise, Lord. We give you praise, Lord, for that ministry that's coming up under attack, that building, that the adversary is trying to destroy and take. Say that the Lord God will puke you. Get your hand off. He shall be revived. He shall be redeemed. It didn't come to destroy him. I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying, he will be redeemed. God will do it. God will do it, child of God. Rejoice in the Lord. Again, I hear God say, rejoice and be glad. My God, my Lord, my Savior. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord our God. Jesus. Jesus. Jesus, do it for your people. And Father, we'll praise your blessed name. We'll give you the glory, Lord, this nation, oh God. This universe, dear God, we lift it up before you, Lord. Every creature, every creation, Lord, in the name of Jesus, dear God. Your sovereign will be done, Lord. Cover it with your blood. Cover it with your blood, Lord. Every worker, Lord, that's in the trench, every gatekeeper, Lord, gap dweller, Lord. Father, in the name, Lord, strengthen their tongue, strengthen their voice, strengthen their, Lord, commitment and compassion and fervor, Lord, for the things of God and passion, Lord. And Father, we'll praise your blessed name, O God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Bless your name, Lord. Jesus. Jesus. Shalalabo, Jesus. Jesus. We bless your name, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lakopa. Thank you, Jesus. We bless your name, Lord. Bless your name, Lord. Jesus. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Bless your name, Lord. We bless your name. Thank you, Lakopa. Bless your name. Bless your people, Lord. Bless, Lord. Comfort and strengthen the mind. Comfort and strengthen the hearts, Lord. Touch the sons, Lord. Touch the daughters, Lord. The grandchildren. The nieces and nephews, Lord, throughout the land. Father, we'll praise your blessed name and give you glory, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen, my Lord. Bless your name. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord our God. Truly, this has been a blessing, women of God, those that have stayed on. I pray that your ministry will continue to prosper. Those that are listening wherever you're at right now, I pray that God has strengthened you and given you a fresh drink on today, and that you have been encouraged, and that you will go back out in fervor and strength. I speak it and charge it into your heart and set it into your spirit today. That the word will be like Jeremiah, burning in your heart, in your bones, shut up in your bones like fire. As you go out and propel and go out and work again and do it again. Embrace your womanhood, child of God. Enjoy who you are. And may God forever, ever bless you. It's my prayer. It has been a tremendous blessing, men of God, men of valor, to have spent this moment in time with you. I feel the sweet, sweet spirit of the Holy Spirit that is just hovering over us right now. God is going to do it. He's our manna, and he will provide, and he will make a way out of no way. We must be like Sarah sometime. Say, God, I judge you faithful, that you will come through on our behalf. So be blessed. If you ever would love for me to come, I would love to come and to be a part of your women's group or your ministry. Feel free just to send me an email, and by the grace of God, you can talk with my administrator. We would love to come to be a part of your ministry, or just a partner in prayer. We can become prayer partners if you want to partner with Pastor Orm. I would love for you to do that. You can email me at helenorme@msn.com. And you can email me and say, or just send me a message and say, Pastor, I would love to be a partner with you, prayer partner, and partner with your ministry. God is on the move. We are progressing forward and doing the work in the will of the Lord. But God is on his way back for a church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. The church needs to repent and come back into divine alignment with the plan and purpose of God. He's soon to come, and will you be ready? I plan to be ready to watch and to pray. So be blessed. Email me. You can call my church, 425-793-5933. You can call if you would love for me to come. I would love to make myself available unto you. But remember, women and men of God, roll up your sleeves. Go back and get that towel that you threw in. Go back, read your word. Go back on your face. Turn that plate over and do the work in the will of the Lord. Some things don't come out but by prayer and fasting. And watch God do it on your behalf. I'm praying with you. Meet me tomorrow at the same time. We'll do it all over again. At the end of our session, we will just have another time of prayer and calling on the name of the Lord. I want you to know I'm praying for you, and I know God is going to do it for your children. I don't care how ugly it looks. I don't care how bad and what folks are saying. God is a resurrector. He let us know by Lazarus that I don't care what's bound them up and things, what grave they may seem like they're in, God is still able to breathe new life into them. New blood cells, new cells in their mind. I believe God, just that much, God is able. So be thou blessed. Call me, email me. Let me know that this session has been a blessing to you. If you're able, please go and rate the show. That's a blessing and encouragement to me to know that God is blessing you through the ministry. It's all about the glory of our Lord and giving him the glory. I decree a blessing in your life. May you be blessed, is my prayer. God bless you. Thank you, Lord. Blessed be your name, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, come on, Sheke. Blessed be your name, Lord Jesus. My Lord Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Kala la 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 boshe.